talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And it is hump day. And one quick thing before I get to the weather here. Just a friendly reminder. It's going on right now over at the Sarah Park at Sarah, Oklahoma. Is Jimbo Edwards has got the J&J Barbecue and Catering wagon out there right now. And he's trying to pull off a short notice benefit for Jason York, who is fighting cancer. They set up this morning. I seen him pull into town super early this morning. My wife texted me a while ago and said that she was standing out there in line and said it was smelling really good. So all the money goes towards medical expenses, motel stays, gas, et cetera, for Jason York. So please, if you get a chance, run over there, grab some plates, buy some plates, take them home for supper tonight. That's what my wife's doing. And help them out as much as you can. The current weather right now is 77 degrees outside here in Elk City. Nathan Brewer dew point is 48 degrees. The wind is out of the south at 6 miles an hour with gusts all the way up to 9 miles an hour. So we're going to have text me earlier. We're going to have some changes in the weather this weekend. A little different than what she thought yesterday. But we're going to check on some local area temperatures real quick. And it looks like the hot spot right now is, in our listening area, is Altus. Hollis is 76, Altus 77. Oop, this one went up. Eric is now the hot spot. It's at 78. Cheyenne 75, Arnett 76. Looks like the cool spot in Oklahoma right now is Miami, up there in the northeastern part of Oklahoma at 67 degrees. And anybody wants to know, clear out there in Kenton, Oklahoma, the last town as you leave the Oklahoma Panhandle up there where Colorado, Texas, and all that comes together, they're a whopping 73 degrees. So anyway, that's our weather forecast. Well, in our next couple of segments after this first one, Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech is in here, and we're going to be discussing soil health. You don't want to miss it because it's very interesting of what he's got to say about it, and I really enjoy him being in the studio. And he's one of my sponsors, and we enjoy it. A big shout out to some of my other sponsors, Barn Feed Service down there at Hobart, Mr. George, Hobart Stockyards, Rex Fleming. Speaking of that, their sale's happening right now. And we got the First National Bank here in Elk City and Sayre that's part of it. And Lori and Benji White with B&L Red Angus up in Putnam. They're part of our sponsors that help make this show happen. If you guys got any questions to ask me or Kent, or you just got something you want to get off your mind, you can always text into the KECO Ag text line at 225-9697. 580-225-9697. I always enjoy reading you guys' texts. So anyway, one more thing before I get into our soybean and our grains deal that I do every day, the first segment. There's a really cool website, www.alfalfa.org. That's sponsored by the National Alfalfa and Forage Alliance. It has a deal in there on variety ratings. And I got on there yesterday, and I forgot to mention it yesterday, and it's really cool. You can go in there and look at all the varieties of alfalfa, whether they're just your regular or your Roundup Ready. Go in there and see what was going to be work best for your soil with soil tests. And it's pretty interesting. It's a cool site. So check it out. www.alfalfa.org. I know a lot of you already got your alfalfa in this year, but it's a pretty interesting article. Well, our cash prices, grain prices for Oklahoma as of an hour ago, hard red winter wheat was at $7.05 a bushel. Milo is at $5.28. Soybeans are at $11.68. They took a hit ever since that announcement came out the other day, so they're down quite a bit. Not bad, but they're down. And corn is at $5.21 a bushel, according to my site a while ago. Soybean and grain futures were slightly higher overnight as investors weighed signs of demand against harvest pressure. Harvest pressure is going pretty hard right now. Global demand for agriculture products is underpinning prices. Exporters on Monday reported sales of 426,800 metric tons of corn to Mexico for delivery in 2021 and 2022 marketing year that started on September 1st, the USDA said. Egypt purchased 36,000 metric tons of soybean oil from global inventories, indicating future world demand for agriculture products. Still, the U.S. harvest rolls on, keeping a lid on price gains. About 34% of the U.S. soybean crop was harvested at the start of the week, up from 16% a week earlier, and ahead of the prior five-year average of 26%, the USDA says. As of Sunday, 58% of the crop was in good or excellent condition, unchanged from the previous week. Some 29% of the U.S. corn was in the bin, up from 18% last week and ahead of the 22% average of this time last year. So this dry weather is paying off because these combines are cooking in these fields. About 59% of the crop was in good or excellent condition, as far from the prior week. Soybean futures for November delivery were up 2.5 cents. At the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal rose 120 to $322.40 a short ton. Wheat futures for delivery added 3.75 cents to $7.48 a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 4.25 to $7.45 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery gained 2.25 to $5.39 a bushel. So when we come back, Mr. Kent Watkins is in here in the studio with me right now, and we'll have a little weather update provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden out of Hobart, Oklahoma. And we're going to talk soil health, so just hang tight, listen to all my sponsors, and we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Obert Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Well, the text line lit up while we were gone, and one guy texted in, or one person, I don't know whether it's female or male I'm talking to here, said it was 68 degrees east of Roll, and it was up to 70 before I got back to commercial. And then one guy texted in a picture of, you might be a farm kid if you know the value of a 5-gallon bucket. So that was pretty good. And then Eddie texts in, and it's his tip of the day. Make sure your trailer gate is locked when going down the highway, because it's a bad deal must just happen. Someone just lost 3 head of cattle in front of a truck. Not a good deal. Sorry to hear that. And, yep, that's a always double-check those gates. Well, Mr. Kent Watkins is in the studio with me. And he is the owner, the boss, the manager, the worker, the whole nine yards at SEI Agritech right here in Elk City. And we're going to talk soil health. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
I love having you in here because you talk some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'd like to do a little review on what we had talked about in the last two visits I had. And I asked a question. I made a statement, and then I asked the question. The average farmer has approximately 40 seasons, 40 years on the farm on his own. Now, he may work for his dad, but on his own, he has typically 40 years. And my question is, how many of those will you waste before you shift paradigms and start using cover crops? And I did that to make people start to think about it.
Right.
with that, on the southern plains are... environment is so brittle. You have to take care of the soil. You have to keep the soil cooled off. You have to keep it covered up. Mother Nature is a prude. She's not going to be naked very long. If you don't keep her covered, she's going to cover herself with something, and probably something you can't deal with, don't like.
Right.
So keep armor on the soil all the time, 365 days a year. All the time, armor on the soil is most important. And then the other statement that I've made, and this is fact, in 1 teaspoon of healthy soil, there's more single cell organisms in that 1 teaspoon than there are humans on the planet. So think about that whenever you decide that you're going to disc or you're going to apply this fungicide or that chemistry or whatever. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying don't till. But as far as the chemistries, I'm not saying don't use those chemistries, but be judicious about those chemistries, because you're doing probably as much damage as you are good.
Good, right.
So those are the things that I want to think about. Armor on the soil in the southern plains is by far the very first thing you have to do. You have got to keep it covered up.
And you see it works. I mean, I see it every day. It works. And I'm not trying to persuade anybody to do this or that on their own farm, because what they do on their own farm is their own business. But I got cover crops on my ground. And whether it's an actual cover crop or maybe some mid-sized weeds, mm-hmm. I got cover crops. But if that ground is cool, because you can go out there, alfalfa, for instance. Alfalfa 4 out of 30 days out of every month's cover crop.
Right.
And then you swath it and bale it, get the water socked back to it, or you get some rain come in, and it grows back in. But you can go out there and feel that ground temperature when it's 100 degrees outside with, say, 12-inch alfalfa, not fully grown, but 12-inch. You can put your hand on that ground, and you feel that ground's cool. Cooler. It's not baked.
That's right. That's right. And whenever you talk about the single-cell organisms in the soil, I tell people, if you'll take care of the herd that's underground, they'll take care of everything above ground for you.
Right.
So feed the herd is what I tell people. And by that, I mean have the ground covered, have a diverse cover crop in there so that they can do the things they do. Even if you're buying commercial fertilizer, say dry fertilizer, getting it rained in is not all that has to happen before that fertility is used by the plant. All that fertility has to go through those single-cell organisms before it's plant available. So the first thing that has to happen is if you spread, say, 1846-0, you got to get it rained into the soil first.
Right.
And then after that, it takes time and heat and single-cell organisms to shear those two components apart in the soil, and then they start working on it to get it into a form that is plant available. So the first form that the nitrogen goes through is nitrite. Nitrite's poisonous to plants. So it releases slowly so that you're moving nitrite into nitrate. Nitrate is what plants use. But it takes single-cell organisms to be able to do that. To convert it.
Yep.
So take care of the underground herd. If you'll take care of them, if that's the only thought you have, taking care of them, the rest of everything going on above ground will tend to take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a question for you, because I think this has been asked to me a couple times, because a couple months ago I read an article on when you apply dry fertilizer, nitrogen, how much time you have to get where it needs to be in the ground or rained in the ground, and what the percentages was day by day that you lose any of the on nitrogen. So in your opinion, on the average, with average rainfall or whatever, how long does it take for the nitrogen to work? How long does it take for the phosphates to work? And how much time does it take for the potash to actually, what time period is that?
Okay, so let's take each component separately. Okay. So on nitrogen, and let's say we're using urea just for easy, 25% of that urea is ammonical nitrogen. So if you don't get it rained in or covered up, you're starting to gas away on day one.
Right.
Dewy mornings and or maybe 1/10 of an inch of rain starts gassing that ammonical part away. You have to get it in the soil one way or another. Timing is very important. If you're top dressing with, say you're top dressing wheat and you're going to use urea, you really need to do that in January.
Yep.
So that it has time to get converted, because it takes time and heat and soil microbes to get that to a nitrate form to be plant available when that wheat breaks dormancy in February.
Okay.
You're not going to lose it in the southern plains. You're not going to lose it. We typically don't have enough moisture to denitrify the nitrogen and to push it too deep that time of year. So if you have a snow forecast or something coming, go spread your nitrogen.
Exactly.
And let the snow help you get it covered up and get it melted into the ground.
Yeah, because it melts slow. Most of the time it melts slow.
Right.
And I mean, everybody loves snow. I've seen some people out there actually fertilizing in the snow because it was froze underneath.
Right.
And it's good stuff.
It'll do. That'll be just fine. Okay, so let's take 1846-0 or 1152. It doesn't really matter. It's your phosphate source. The phosphorus part of that, you're only going to get 1/3 of that, whatever, however much you put down, you're only going to get 1/3 of that this year, this growing season. It's going to typically, if that's put down in March or April, it's going to be plant available sometime in May or June.
Okay.
Again, it's soil, it's heat, moisture, microbes.
But it's not going to go to waste like
it will not, and it has to, it really needs to be placed. It's typically a waste of money to spread it on top of the soil, because it's going to melt out and it's not going to move 1/4 inch.
Right.
It's just not. With everything else going on in the soil profile, phosphates don't move.
Okay.
They just don't. So let's go on to potash, 0060. For any spring crop that requires potash, peanuts are a good example, and cotton is too. Spread that in December, January. It takes 4 months in our environment to make it plant available. It will move, not as fast as nitrogen or sulfur, but a lot faster than phosphorus. And in peanuts, you want it below the top 4 inches of the soil, because in the top 4 inches is where you're pegging.
Right.
And it will tie up calcium that the peanuts have got to have. So get it below the top 4 inches, get it out of that calcium area where you apply GIP or whatever form of calcium you apply.
Yeah, because they start planting in what, April, May?
Late April, early May.
May, and you put it down in late December, and mm-hmm. you should be good to go by 1st of May.
Yeah, time you do all your prep work and everything, and by the time that plant is pegging, because it's, planted then, fine, but you're not starting to peg till July anyway.
Right.
So the amount of watering that you're doing, and even dry land, the amount of fertilizer that you would use for dry land versus irrigated, it'll be in the sand. It's typically well below the pegging zone. But you have to get the potash out of the pegging zone, or you're going to have calcium deficiencies, and that's going to cause what we think of as disease problems like pod rot. That's a typical one. It's really not a disease. It's a condition of health. They treat it as a disease because they use the disease-type chemicals to cure that, when all you really have to do is get more calcium in the profile, and you don't have pod rot anymore.
That's interesting, because a couple weeks ago, a week ago last Friday, I was over there when they were doing the peanut blasting. And some of those guys from actually out west in Texas, there was some of those vines coming in, and that's when they rake the peanuts off to have them blast it, and I noticed some pod rot. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't severe, but I know, and I've never noticed it before.
Well, that had to do with the amount of rainfall that they had during whenever they were pegging.
Right.
Calcium is mobile too, and you got to realize calcium is the biggest molecule in the soil profile that's used. So everybody wants to talk about nitrogen and potash and phosphorus, but calcium's the kingpin. Everything else runs around the calcium. I mean, it works off calcium. Calcium's the largest molecule out there, so everything else hinges off that. So for the peanut farmers out there, make sure you have your calcium put out. If you're using GIP, spreading it dry, you get two benefits from that. You get the calcium, you get sulfur, I guess three benefits, and digging ability later.
Gotcha.
It modifies the soil profile a little bit to help you with the digging if you're in a little tighter ground. There are other ways to get calcium, but that's the one that's most common.
Well, if you're just joining us, I have Kent Watkins, owner-operator of SEI Agritech right here in Elk City, and we're talking soil health, and he's talking about the different things leading up to what we're going to talk to here in just a few minutes after our middle segment break. And I got a question for you.
Okay.
He says, when do you need to put down dry fertilizer on Bermuda grass?
Put down your potassium and your phosphorus, whatever phosphorus you're going to use, in the winter. Yep. December, January.
Just like we do on alfalfa.
Just the same thing.
Yep.
And then your nitrogen at the beginning, and then a little bit as you go.
Yep. Good. There's your answer, sir, and thanks for texting in. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, you want to stay tuned, because he's going to go to number 4, number 5 on our series of soil health tests we got, and you guys are going to enjoy this. So you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 1st. 1,490 head were sold. 21 head of steers at 446 brought 170.50. 6 at 508 brought 134. 15 at 604 brought 141.50. 16 at 635 brought 145. 5 at 642 brought 130. 8 at 676 brought 129. 17 head of heifers at 380 brought 147. 20 at 488 brought 135.50. 3 at 597 brought 130. 9 at 624 brought 130.50. 16 at 661 brought 127.75. 5 at 811. 11 brought 125. Butcher cows were 25 to 76.50. Bred cows 175 to 14.10. Butcher bulls 40 to 90. Pairs brought 885 to 16.50. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I have Mr. Kent Watkins in here with SEI Agritech, and we're talking soil health. And let me give you a little weather update. It's 78 degrees. Winds are now out of the southwest at 4 miles an hour, and wind gusts up to 8 miles an hour. In our next and last segment, I'll have the long ranger come provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma. Hey, I'm going to give you guys a warning if you're not been paying attention to the weather. It's going to start getting hot tomorrow all the way through Saturday. But the one thing I want to warn you about is starting tomorrow, those winds are going to start picking up. And by Saturday, they're going to be 30, 40 miles an hour before that front comes through Sunday. So you better get your spraying and your fertilizing and all that good stuff done today and tomorrow and get after it. I don't want to scare you, but I'm just telling you what I've been seeing on the forecast, and I got an update from Lacey earlier. So anyway, we'll go from there. And appreciate all the texts that are coming in on the text line. That's a good deal. We got 4 or 5 so far today. So Kent, you're a popular guy. Every time you come in, my text line just lights up, and I love it. So and I get paid by the text, so you guys all text in, I get a $5 per text bonus. And I think Aaron Kautz paying me today. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you don't want me to repeat what he just said. But anyway, well, Kent, let's proceed with our soil test, our soil health.
Okay. So one thing I want to bring to people's attention today, this is from the USDA, and this is for year-end 2017. And this is USDA numbers, not my numbers. For North America, Canada, and the United States, in Canada, agribusiness, and that's the chemical distributors, manufacturers, fertilizer Everybody. Manufacturers, machinery, tires, vet supply, what you name it, whatever you got out there that you can see from your house, all that. In Canada, agribusiness took 100% of farmer rancher profit in 2017.
Wow.
In the United States, it was 97%.
Ooh.
People need to think about that.
Yeah.
Now,
it didn't take me long.
Okay, so everybody's out there saying, yeah, cool, great. How do you fix it? Change your way of thinking. Change the paradigm. The biggest block that I have getting people to shift into the cover crops and soil health is the human mind. They try to overthink it. it'll, you know, whenever I talk about a diverse mix and the how do you set the drill, just set it. You'll get there. You'll get close. Well, all that stuff will separate in the drill. Show me one place in the field where it separated. They can't. It looks like it would.
I've heard
that
before.
You would think that it would,
yeah.
But you can't see it in the field.
No.
I mean, it's not precision. You know, it's not a precision thing. It's getting the ground covered up. That's
right.
The first thing. So, you know, how do you get off that agribusiness treadmill? And I'm telling you, I've sold an ocean of chemical in my career. I've sold a mountain range of fertilizer in my career. And since I switched into this 6 years ago, my personal use of both have plummeted. And my profitability on the farm has risen.
And that's what you want.
And that's what you're looking for.
Exactly.
So how do you do that? Change paradigms. Change the way you think about stuff. Don't think about what – get up in the morning thinking about what you got to go kill, whether it's a bug or a weed. Think about what you're going to make grow. So change the way you think. Start with the five pillars of soil health. That's the best place to start. And take one field, part of a field, whatever it is, prove or disprove the concept. If you do it like you should be doing it, you'll prove the concept. So the five pillars of soil health that are recognized around the world, we went through the first two, and that's armor on the soil and low disturbance. So that means park your brand new vertical tillage tool that you just got. Park that in the tree row.
They're so cool.
Yeah, they are cool. But it's tillage.
Yes.
So every time you till, you're starting over. That's what you're doing.
Yep.
We had a question the last time I was here about a guy asked about strip tilling.
Yep.
That's fine. But just know, whether you're tilling the whole field or whether you're strip tilling, wherever you're tilling, you're starting all over. You're starting over.
Yep.
So how many times do you want to start over? That's the question. So let's move on from armor on the soil and low disturbance. The next one is keep a living root in that soil 365 days a year, if possible, as many days out of the year as possible. So what that means is there's no fallow wheatground anymore. You're not going to be using SUs like Finesse or Amber or any of those for your weed control in your fallow wheatground. Because you remember we talked last time that soil temperature, you know, in August, July and August, when it's 100 degrees outside, it'll be 140 on that soil temperature.
Oh, yeah.
You're killing microbes. When you do that, when you get it past 110, you're killing microbes. How many of them do you have to lose? I mean, there's billions of them in there, but there'll be billions more if you just feed them and take care of them. So living root in the soil all the time. And then past that, the fourth one is whenever you talk about those cover crops is diversity, diversity, diversity. Multi-species cover crops. A monoculture of anything is not good. Now, cotton farmers are out there saying, yeah, okay, how am I supposed to strip my cotton with all this other stuff in there? You're not. I get that. But what you can do is what a lot of people are doing now that Danny Davis pioneered into this country 40 years ago when he was putting rye down as a cover crop. The reason he did it then was to keep it from blowing all winter.
Right.
But as time went on, he saw the benefit of that, and other guys adopted it as that went.
Right, and here north of town.
Yeah, and Jimmy Smith has done it.
Yep.
A lot of guys are doing it now.
Yep.
But Danny Davis pioneered that. And I got him to look at putting in a few other things into that, because the truth of the matter is, anything you put into that cover crop, off-season cover crop, isn't going to interfere with the cotton anyway, because you're using either a dicamber or 2,4-D
right.
to pick up all the broadleafs anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter.
Right.
A monocultural cereal grain, whether it's wheat, rye, triticale, barley, doesn't matter. That's not great either. It's just not. But if you're going to the elevator with wheat, put in Austrian winter pea, hairy vetch, a tillage radish.
And I'm doing it this year.
A dicot radish. Put those in there. Yeah, but I've got to harvest that. You're going to you're going to run over that in the spring with some kind of herbicide anyway, 2,4-D or dicamba, something, one of those, or a component thereof, they're going to pick up those broadleaves. So it doesn't matter. You're going to get the benefit of the nitrogen that those two produce and break down to help finish your wheat crop off anyway.
Because your vetch and your peas and all that stuff, that's good. It's great for the soil.
Absolutely. And it's what's good for the underground herd. I have to be careful with that word. Yeah. What's good for that underground herd?
Oh, it's my show. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was your show. Yeah. Is good for the above ground herd. Because if you're grazing it, the cattle love it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's cattle. Cattle, sheep, whatever you're doesn't matter. Zebras, who cares? They're going to love it.
Giraffes.
Doesn't matter. If they can reach it, yeah, they love it. Yeah, they do. Because it's like those legumes in there are like Snicker bars to you and me. They love those legumes.
And we love them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So diversity is the name of the game. The other thing that diversity gives you is different rooting depths for different species. So we know now through radioactive isotopes that we can see that we used to think plants competed for moisture and nutrients. We know now they don't. The deeper rooted stuff brings that nutrition and moisture, water, to the mid-level stuff to feed on, and then the mid-level rooted stuff takes it on to the shallow rooted stuff like wheat and helps it with nutrition and water uptake. They share across those plateaus. They do not compete.
Right.
And we know that now. We can see it.
We got a little bit of time here, but the thing to bring back, you just mentioned about cattle out there eating the veg and the peas and the wheat, rye, whatever they got out there with that stuff. You know, it's money in your pocket if your cattle are loving what they're eating out there, the little Snicker bars you call them. If they're out there eating, they're making you money. Right. They're not sitting there on top of that terrace chewing their cud.
That's right.
So it's a good thing.
That's right. And it's just better overall. So while you're thinking about all this, think about what's good for what's going on underneath the soil. That'll take care of the above ground. And you're not going to hit a home run first year. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat.
Right.
You won't. But you can see huge changes in the first year. And by year three, you'll be all in if you'll just do it.
Yeah.
And, you just got to start.
And don't overdo it.
Yeah. There's no reason to do this and then lay awake every night worrying about what you did. If it's going to keep you up at night, you're probably in the wrong business anyway.
Yeah.
But do enough that it matters, but don't do so much at the first year that it keeps you up at night. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And then the last pillar of soil health is livestock. You can do it without putting livestock on that farm. It's just slower because of the urine, manure that livestock gives you, and the other things, the treading of the soil that the hoof gives you and all that. But if you do introduce livestock, try to sell graze. A set stocking rate doesn't do much good at all because, for the most part, set stocking rates on the southern plains is about 20 to 25 cows per quarter, and that really doesn't get you down the road very far. If you will sell graze, you could increase that to 40 or 50 cows and then be willing to move them.
Right.
So the first question I get always is what about soil compaction? You can stand 1,000,000 pounds of beef on that acre of ground. That's not the issue. It's the duration of time that 1,000,000 pounds of beef stand on that acre. So if you put 1,000,000 pounds of beef on that acre this morning, they need to be moving now.
Right.
So I realize that's a big concept right there.
That's far-fetched.
But it gives you the picture.
Yeah.
So whenever I sell graze, and I don't sell graze every day of every year, but I am right now. So when I sell graze, I move my wire every day. If I know I'm not going to be able to make it the next day, then I give them a little bigger paddock for that second day, and then I move on the third day. I can tell you, because I've done it for 5 years, I can pick up 1,000 feet of wire and put out 1,000 feet of wire, and I can do it in 20 to 30 minutes. Yep. Now, could I do that the first time? No.
No.
But by the third or fourth time, I had a system down, and I could do it.
Yeah.
And I don't use wire. I use the turbo fabric wire.
Right.
I just roll it up. It doesn't take long. The other thing that that does for you is it lets you see your livestock every day or every other day at the work.
Makes you see what's going on.
It lets you see what's going on. If you have a problem, you can get it before it gets you. And I'll tell you, after about 3 days, if you let's say you're using cattle, they catch on pretty quickly. And when they see your pickup coming,
they're moving to that gate.
They'll go to the gate, and they'll stand there patiently for you to open it. They're not standing there bawling. They're not doing any of that. And whenever you open the gate, they walk around and go to grazing.
I seen that with my own eyes a few days ago between Carter and Willow on the highway going to Mangum. There's a gentleman on the east side of the highway there. He's got a quarter of land out there, and he's got it all wired off and stuff. And I just happened to look over there when I was driving by, and he just pulled up on his Ranger, and the cows were already coming to him.
Yep. They figure it out really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, it's just good for everything. I mean, if you have a group of cattle that's a little bit wild, it settles them down. And it's just good. I mean, you can't beat it.
Well, if you're just joining us, and we're about done, but if you're just joining us, I've had Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech on Today in Ag with me today, and we've been talking soil health, and he's got five numbers of soil health, five different versions of the category that they go in, category by category. And if you missed it, I'm streaming live on Facebook, and you can go back and watch the part you missed on it, or you can go to kcofm.com, tag on to the on-air shows, Today in Ag, tag on there, and I'll have it mounted on here right after the show's over and catch it, because I'm telling you guys, this is good stuff to listen to. He makes sense. It might not be your cup of tea, but like he said, just try a small spot or one pasture, try it, one field, try it, and learn and live and move on, and you'll enjoy it. Because I do it. I got the, you know, you talk about hard ground, you know, the no-till drills, they'll take concrete.
Yes, they will.
And they'll take concrete, and I've got a 15-foot John Deere no-till, and it's a newer, the 1590, and I love it. I mean, it's not very big, but I get her done.
Yep, you get it done. I was sitting here thinking about rotational grazing. And that fits no matter whether you're moving one-acre paddocks or 80 acres. I have a customer in the Caddo County area. They happen to own four quarters in the same section, and they join. And they have gates where they rotate one quarter at a time. They put all their cows, all their cattle on one quarter, leave them for a week. They move them to the next quarter, leave them for a week. And they do that all the way around. By the time they get back to the first paddock, it's been a full month.
Yeah.
And whatever they've got out there, whether it's summer or winter, it's grown back and ready to be grazed again.
Right.
They were told me early on this would never work. Now they're one of my best customers.
Yeah, rotational grazing, and it works. And I've got right out here west of town, I've got a quarter that I helped them increase with, and we got an 80 and an 80, and we're getting ready to divide it into 40s, and that's exactly what we're going to do because it works.
The object of the game with rotational grazing to make it work is, and it's hard to get it through your mind to start with, pull those paddocks down and make them small. Make those cattle compete
for what's in there.
For what's in there, and the urine and manure will follow that. That's your fertilizer. You're not going to buy fertilizer next year. You won't need to. Also, be judicious with your wormers, your porons.
Because don't take them for COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do that if you want. I know somebody who does that. But anyway, they're extremely hard on single cell life because what do they kill in the gut? They kill those things.
Right.
When they go through the manure, They're going to kill everything that is below them, okay? So the first thing, when you get off, if you'll get off the porons and the injectables, first thing you'll see back that you can see is the dung beetle. You've got to have the dung beetle. There's two different species we have here. We all know what the one is. The other is called a dweller. And if you'll look at that cow pie, if they're active, it'll be dispersed out. And instead of being
piled up
in a one-foot area, it's in a 2.5 or 3-foot area. That's very important. You have to have the dung beetles
to make the whole system work. Yeah, we have them in our backyard. Work. My dogs, we live out there on the river. The dogs can go do their thing, and by the time they get to the house, take a drink of water, you look over there, and that stuff's rolling.
That's right. That's right. Everybody laughs about them, but they're very important. And they're the first indicator of
good health,
starting to redeem soil health.
Yeah. Well, you're coming back next month,
yep,
and I can't wait. And so we're running short on time, and I could do the whole show with Kent, but we're just going to do 2/3 of it today. So anyway, I will be right back after this. You're listening to Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, October the 7th. We're expecting 3,500 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Higgins, got 140 Charlotte Cross kids off the cow that weigh 6 to 8. Very nice. From Paulette, Texas, got 140 steers and heifers 5 to 6. They're short weaned. From Wheeler, Texas, got 140 black steers and heifers, weigh 5 to 6. From Arnett, got 30 bull and heifer kids, weigh 4 to 550. Slap Out, got 288 yearlings that weigh 6 to 750. We got one whole load, weigh 610, be very good to graze, very nice. Moreland got 81 steers, 8.5. Fort's 5, 50 steers, 7.5. Moreland, 40 steers at 8. Thomas got 176 heifers at 8. Moreland got 30 steers at 8. Hitchcock got 70 steers and heifers, 7.5. Guyman, we got 70 steers that weigh 7 to 8. They were in a wreck a month ago, selling for the insurance company. We also have 70 other black steers. The trailer caught on fire. They look nice, but selling them for the insurance company. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. I stay in the ring start to finish to make sure we get the most we can for every animal. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yo, it's hump day. Got lots of things going on for all kinds of good stuff. I mean, it was a great show today, and I got a few things to go over with you before the end of the show. We got about 4 minutes left. Kent and I took some extra time, which is A-okay with me because his information I really enjoy. The Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast is currently we're at 79 degrees with wind south 4 miles an hour, gust up to 10. It's supposed to get to 82 today. High's 90 degrees tomorrow. High Friday 95. high Saturday, 95, and Sunday, boom, we're back down to 83. So here's the scoop I got from Lacey a while ago. She talked about it yesterday that there was a couple fronts coming through, and she thought the first one was going to be a dry one. Well, it's switched gear. It's going not to be so dry. But according to her map, it's going to be dry in the far western Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle. You know how they always draw that line from basically the north part of Greer County through Beckham, Roger Mills, and back up towards Woodward? Everything west of that line looks like, as of today, that it's going to be dry, and then west of there, and then everything east is going to be heavy thunderstorms. But she told me that if it produced heavy rains like it looks like it's going to now, that the front coming through on Tuesday was going to be a barn burner for us. And so that's good. That's what we need. We need some rain. My pond, I'm telling you, I got 11 ponds on that 400 acres down there west of Willow, and I have water in one of them right now. So it is dry. All this rain we've been getting this summer has been awesome, but there hasn't been a lot of good runoff, which is okay. It means the water's going back into the soil and replenishing and stuff. So anyway, that's Lacey's update. So remember, it's a prediction. It's not a guarantee. A couple more things I wanted to go over with you before I ran out of time. Sarah Ag Boosters are having their first annual golf scramble to support the FFA and 4-H at Sarah. And it's October 16th, Saturday. $75 a person, four-person teams, Sarah Public Golf Course. For information, call Melissa at 580-729-8021 or Katie Poole at 580-374-1452. And it's probably on the Sarah Golf Course Facebook site. But anyway, go out and support the Ag Boosters. They're very important to our FFA and 4-H groups. Also on that day at the Stockman's Vet Clinic in Elk City, Oklahoma, Dr. Taylor Mouse is going to be having an open house from 11 to 2 on that Saturday. And there will be food. And come meet Dr. Mouse and her staff and check out her refurnished facilities. They did a really good job with that over there. Well, hope everybody enjoyed the show today. Been a great one. Had Kent Watkins on here from SEI Agritech. And thanks to all my sponsors. Have you a great rest of the day. I'm going to go swath some hay so it'll dry out before the rain comes in this weekend. Have a great day and God bless. You're listening to Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.